Hi, and welcome to today's Computer Talk for the Pharmacist podcast. This is Will Lockwood, Director of Editorial Content.
So today on our podcast, I'm speaking with Iyad Farah, Vice President and General Manager of Health Mart Atlas. Health Mart Atlas is a Pharmacy Services Administration Organization, or PSAO. We're going to talk today about a recent phenomenon in community pharmacy that some of you out there may have noticed in your pharmacies, which is a shift from 30-day to 90-day prescription refills. We're going to find out what the causes of that are, what some of the impacts have been, and what pharmacy can expect to see about that in the future. But first, Iyad, just introduce yourself, and then we'll get going.
Great. Thank you very much and appreciate the opportunity to participate today. So for everyone, I'm Iyad Farah. I'm with Health Mart Atlas. I'm the Vice President and General Manager of Health Mart Atlas, which is the McKesson Pharmacy Services Administrative Organization. I've been in and around the pharmacy industry my entire career. I've worked in the pharmacy behind the counter. I've actually worked in the marketing group with McKesson's pharmaceutical business and helped pharmacies with developing new solutions like mobile apps and the local marketing support. And in the last several years, I've been focused on managed care, on obviously working with PBMs and handling reimbursements and offering managed care services for our network pharmacies. So appreciate the opportunity to be here and speak about some of the recent issues that we're seeing with pharmacies.
Okay, well, thank you so much again. Now, let's dive right in here. Shift from 30-day to 90-day refills. What's the cause?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and I think, obviously, if we kind of go back, I can't believe that it's now 6 or 7 months since the beginning of this pandemic, but if we go back to March, we've actually seen a huge spike in the 90-day prescriptions. Obviously, a lot of patients that started to shelter or they at home or they wanted to basically have less visits to the pharmacies were basically starting to switch from their kind of traditional 30 days to 90 days so that they can, continue to be safe at home and not have to leave the house because of the pandemic.
Okay. So was this shift a combination of factors and patient-driven, it sounds like you're saying, patient choice. And were pharmacies motivated to do this, or was it coming more from the patients themselves?
I would say it's mostly driven by the patients themselves. Now, obviously, pharmacies have always provided 90 days as one of the offerings. So we do actually see pharmacies today that are dispensing 90 days. It's mostly driven either by the patient choice or in some instances it's, an offering or a benefit from the plan. But in what I would say in the last probably 6 months more is driven by the patient choice and wanting to be safe and continue to, shelter at home. And the preference was to shift to more kind of 90 days.
Got it. And just out of interest, how do we see this phenomenon appear in the data, in the prescribing data and in the claims processing data? Where was it that you all first sort of looked at this and said, aha, here's a trend?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously monitor our 30-day and 90-day as kind of metrics that we're constantly monitoring when we look at the performance of the overall network. So we obviously in March saw the significant spike, and then we continued to monitor that on a weekly and monthly basis throughout. So I would say roughly, anywhere kind of pre-COVID to where we are today, we saw an increase of 3 to 5%. In the percentage of 90-day prescriptions that were dispensed across the network. Obviously, that, number is, across our entire network. It really depends on geographies and, patient mix. And you obviously see some pharmacies that have higher percentages than that. But on average, what we saw across the entire network is 3 to 5% increase.
Okay. And that was noticeable. That was remarkable when you saw that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, when you think about the 90-day prescriptions, again, it's still, I would say, a smaller percentage. You know, it could vary from network to network or from pharmacy to pharmacies. But overall, I think usually 90-day prescriptions still make up a much smaller percentage of the overall prescription volume. And 3 to 5% increase is definitely a significant or I would say noticeable is the right word.
Right. Percentage. Right. All right. Then what about the impact on pharmacy? You obviously mentioned already one impact, one benefit from the patient perspective, which is, you know, limiting the trips out and allowing them to shelter in place more effectively. But what about from the pharmacy's perspective? What's the impact been?
Yeah, there's, I would say, a couple, you know, some positives, potentially some, you know, more challenges, right? So I'll start with maybe the first challenge, which is 90-day prescriptions do have more challenging reimbursement rates. They obviously, part of it is driven by the fact that 90-day prescriptions are intended to allow retail, right, or pharmacies to be more competitive or as competitive as mail order. So obviously the 90-day prescription, you know, come usually with more aggressive reimbursement rates. There's a reflection as well of, you know, the cost to dispense is a third. If you kind of compare dispensing three times one prescription versus, you know, one 90-day prescription. So there's obviously, you know, a reflection of that, right, in kind of the reimbursement rate. I think obviously from the, you mentioned the patient's perspective, there's also, not only the convenience, right, around, you know, I want to make less trips during these challenging times, but there's also an adherence, opportunity here. So obviously 90-day prescriptions have, you know, higher, adherence. For the patients, so patients that are on 90-day prescriptions are 11% on average more adherent than patients that are taking 30. The benefit, obviously, besides the benefit to the patient, there's a benefit to the pharmacy because many of the contracts today are actually tied to adherence metrics, and that positions obviously the pharmacy to have better overall adherence and potentially better reimbursement in those contracts that are tied to clinical metrics.
It's interesting. So I don't want to get us off track, but that difference in adherence and its significance in terms of the contracts these days. So one simple barrier to adherence for patients is clearly having to make it to the pharmacy to pick this stuff up every 30 days.
Correct. Right. And the, and I would add actually to that, that it's a missed opportunity, obviously, to have the conversation with the patient, right, every 30 days, but kind of the pros and cons here. You are more adherent because you're picking it up 90 days and you have the prescriptions for 90 days. At the same time, it's a missed opportunity to actually interact, right, and connect with the patient, make sure they are taking the actual medications, not just getting it from the pharmacy. So I would say it's balanced. I could see, you know, obviously the benefits of the 90 days on the overall adherence, but I can also see the need, right, to kind of interact and connect with your patients more frequently.
Of course, pharmacies have so many great tools these days to manage those patient communications and interactions, without requiring an in-person visit. It seems like there could be some opportunity if you're thinking about it well to simply give them that phone call, maybe interact with them in another way that they prefer, messaging, whatever it may be. But I guess for those interactions that have traditionally been in person, that has to be rethought, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think this is an opportunity, right, for pharmacies to kind of, you know, better understand how they can optimize the interactions. And again, different patients might have different needs. So what are some of the tools that, you know, are available today, whether it's, you know, medication synchronization and setting appointments with the patients if they need it on a more frequent basis, or having the ability to interact remotely, right, or virtually with the patients if they take the 90-day. But it's definitely an opportunity to, you know, for pharmacies to look at the solutions that exist today in the marketplace and make sure they're optimizing that interaction with that patient.
So this, I think, leads us into another good topic. You know, we were just talking about addressing that impact on the opportunity for patient pharmacist interaction. What are some of the other ways to address the impact of a shift to 90-day refills?
I think you know, one is it's not just about, you know, kind of shifting to the 90 days, but it's about the convenience of what the patient needs. So we are seeing, for example, whether pharmacies have delivery or not. So you could do 90 days and you can also deliver, because even some patients that are taking 90 days still would prefer to have the medications delivered to their home versus coming to the pharmacies to pick that up. Having more options to offer to your patients, whether it is delivery or drive-through or curbside pickup, I think starting to think about what and how we can create that unique offering for different patients and to address different patient needs. Again, I think the 90-day is one part of it, but patients are. Many patients today, they're, you know, especially the elderly patients, they're afraid to leave the house. And, you know, if they don't take their medication, it's going to be even more challenging. So starting to think about how we can create that convenience for the patient would be one area. The second area that I think, again, is relevant is, you know, as pharmacies potentially or maybe as less patients walk into the pharmacy, and we talked about the interactions, there's still a lot of opportunity to have conversations around medication therapy management, right, and comprehensive medication reviews today that are and can be done virtually or over the phone. So I would, you know, I think one area to encourage pharmacies is if you do have more time, this is a great opportunity for you to interact with those patients that potentially need medication therapy management review or comprehensive medication review and have that conversation. Again, one, because it's the right thing to do. It helps drive better adherence. It helps make sure the patients are taking their medications. Ultimately, it impacts the overall clinical performance for that pharmacy, and which really results in better reimbursement.
Well, and that's so interesting, because you mentioned that the 90-day refill comes with, if I understood properly, lower dispensing fees. That's one reason for the lower reimbursement, because there is a single dispense for 90 days rather than three dispenses over the course of 90 days. But if there's going to be an effective continuation of that patient-pharmacist relationship and the benefits from that, then there are those interactions. There are costs around interacting with those pharmacists and the time and the technology and everything that requires. And so I think you mentioned a little bit about this, the notion of performance-based reimbursement options. The pharmacists must be having to think more about how to get reimbursed for those patient interactions that are not directly associated or don't have a dispensing associated with them.
Correct. And so too, when I think about kind of the, you know, I'll take it from the patient's view, right, and their interaction with the patients, you have obviously the direct reimbursement associated to the product, right? And if we're talking, for example, about a Medicare patient, in many instances, you have additional revenue opportunities like medication therapy management, which could be, you know, 5-10 minute conversations. You also have comprehensive medication reviews that, you know, the pharmacy could potentially have. Those are longer, right? Could be anywhere from, you know, 30 to, you know, maybe 60 minute sessions with the patients. And then obviously many of our contracts today on the Medicare side do have DIRs, and those DIRs are tied directly to clinical metrics. So as pharmacies do have those conversations with patients, as adherence improves, you can kind of see the direct direct. I say direct, but it's not really direct because it takes time until we see kind of the DIR, whether it's a refund back or better or lower DIRs that are being charged back to the pharmacy. Those are the indirect impacts, right, of better reimbursement tied to better adherence and better clinical metrics.
Okay. And what about, are there any issues around managing cash and revenue that pharmacies are looking to address or having to consider with this different rhythm of filling the prescriptions?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, if I kind of look back, we've continued, obviously, to see the DIRs continue to grow, and that on it, you know, by itself has challenged, you know, cash flow management for pharmacies. You know, the more you have DIRs or, you know, any kind of, you know, true-ups that take place post-adjudication, and in this instance, we're talking about 90 days, so now you have I'm getting kind of money paid now for 90 days, but then for the two additional months, you know, that does impact the cash flow for a pharmacy. So we have seen cash flow continue to be, you know, more challenging for pharmacies to manage it. And so, again, it's something that, you know, like any business, you want to make sure that you understand the cash flow and you can manage it. And there are solutions today like reconciliation services that can really help the pharmacy understand how to manage their cash flow, what are they actually and by the way, are they being paid appropriately to the contract? So is the money actually in the bank, and how should they manage it with this kind of constant change, whether it's CIRs or, you know, an increase in 90 days? These factors definitely kind of help, kind of, I would say, challenge that. And so they really have to rely on you know, solutions or services to help them manage it appropriately.
Okay. And then looking ahead, what do you think the outlook is for this? Are pharmacies going to continue to see a higher proportion of 90-day refills? Do you think once life goes back to being more normal, that people will return to having those 30-day fills? What do you think the outlook is here?
That's a great question, right? I wish I had my crystal ball. I think, so I will say, as we have been monitoring the 90 days, you know, obviously I think that we saw it spike and it's kind of leveled at 3-5%. In August and I'd say mostly September, we're actually starting to see that level off, so we're not continuing to see the increase in 90 days. So I think, you know, obviously post-COVID and when patients feel maybe more comfortable, there probably is going to be a set of patients that decide that they do want to go back to 30 days. They do want to go back to the pharmacy, and they maybe want that interaction with the pharmacy on a more frequent basis. So there's also going to be some patients that probably get used to or, you know, adapt to the 90 days and potentially adapt to delivery. And so, you know, patient behaviors potentially are changing and will continue to change. So I think you'll probably see a mix of both, right? Some that will go back to 30 days, some that might be convenient for them to continue the 90 days and the delivery because, you know, they got used to it.
All right. Well, it's a fascinating topic. It touches on so many different aspects of a pharmacy's operations, cutting across clinical, financial, you know, that critical patient interaction, those interactions with the payers and the services and support that something like a PSAO is going to offer. So, really, really fascinating topic. Interesting thing to take note of. Ayad, thank you so much for your time today, and look forward to having another chance to talk with you again soon.
Great. Thank you again. Appreciate you allowing me to participate in this podcast today.